Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, welcome back to 666, day 666. Look, we've been talking about that several times during the first hour. Talked about the 76th anniversary of the D-Day landing, the Allied D-Day's landing. They call it D-Day, the Allies, when they landed on this beaches of Normandy Beach. Like I said earlier, I think it was Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword. I believe there was four. Might have even been five beaches. I think the Americans were at Omaha, and I don't know the other ones, but I believe, and I know this is kind of an aside, I think the British took the brunt of the casualties that day. I'm not positive about that, but, you know, that invasion was coordinated by the Russians on the Eastern Front, unleashed a tremendous offensive against the Germans fighting on the Eastern Front. So they tried to catch them in like a pincer, you know, a vice. And how the Germans held out as long as they did, I'm not the only ones that wonders about that. But anyway, today is June the 6th, and we've been talking about what jumps out at me is the occult symbols and occult messages. We talked about the 666. Also, while we're on that, I'd like to point out, I don't know if Monica knows this, but, you know, I think it was yesterday during, they said, around, everything happened around this meeting. We talked about the meeting between Mark Esper, the defense secretary, and some of the heads of four-star generals in there, our neglected to mention earlier, the four-star generals. The scuttlebutt is they told him they were not going to support the president. They were not going to support him bringing the military into Washington, D.C., because it would just inflame, they call them the protesters, you know, the protesting people. I like to replace that word. It would inflame the terrorist. But Sam checked during it right now, and so far everything is going pretty smooth. It's they're having that million-man protest up there today. And so far, thank God the president's still alive. The no violence has broken out. Hopefully we can make it to Monday without any violence. Help people keep the president, keep our nation, indeed, keep the world in your prayers. Because I'm telling you what, if they go in there, if they kill this president, I'm afraid we're going to see one of the bloodiest revolutions we have ever witnessed. And getting back to the occult stuff, Miss Monica, I don't know if you know or not, but during right around the time of that meeting, the Washington Monument was struck by lightning. It looks like more than once. You know, as a lot of people will know, that George Washington was the first president of the United States. And you got people that, you know, you can always dig dirt up on somebody. Lord knows there's plenty of dirt on me. And he did, you know, they say, well, you know, George Washington was a Mason. He was this, he was that. Some of my friends knock him because, you know, he invaded Western Pennsylvania to put down the Whiskey Rebellion. I don't think Kentucky was settled enough then to have whiskey stills, but he did put that down. And that probably was, against the Constitution. But overall, I mean, we don't call him the father of the United States for nothing. The guy was he was sterling. I could go on and tell you some other stories about how George Washington, he would go out to pray. And I witnessed something. This will be the last rabbit trail I go down until I go back to Miss Monica. He went out to pray, and there was a witness that said that where Washington went out to pray, about 100 yards from his tent, that the snow melted in a periphery around him. Also, all of our audience probably knows this story better than I know, Miss Monica. You know, during battle, George Washington's was shot at so many times. His bullet, he had, I don't know how many horses. He was like General Nathan Bedford Forrest. He had just countless horses shot out from under him. His coat had bullet holes in them. It seemed impossible for a bullet to go through his coat the way it did without hitting the president. That was before he was the president, I believe. But it counts. That wasn't just once. It was many times. And there was the Indian there. Don't ask me to remember the Indian's name. But after the war, he told the priest, was able to meet with George Washington. He said that he told this Indian chief said that he told his men to stop shooting at Washington because they shot so many times, like at can't miss range, and didn't get a scratch on him, that they decided that the Great Spirit, the God, whatever God they talked about, was on his side. And anyway, Miss Monica, what do you think about that? Do you think this? Well, you have no way to know. I'm just wondering. It seemed like a heck of a coincidence, though, that when this meeting was going on, lightning, God Almighty sent lightning down to the Washington Monument. I don't know. That might be a bridge too far. What do you think, Miss Monica?
Well, I have no doubt that there is a higher force, God, that does give us signs. And this is not something that I always believed in my life, but at the same time that I had my awakening about how the world works and what's really going on, I am very happy to say that I also had a spiritual awakening, so that I'm no longer in the dark about that. And, you know, I used to think more along the lines of, well, I didn't really know, but I guess I used to call myself atheist, and certainly not anymore. And, you know, I just watched a documentary about Fatima that was in 1917, the three little girls in the little town or village of Fatima in Portugal that had the miracle happen I just watched it, but I can't tell you all the details right now, but probably you know about that. But there are many instances where there are signs of it must be from God that shows us things. And also we have things happen to us that are unexpected or unexplainable, and we can't always explain everything. These are signs. For example, I had a dream the night before I was arrested, and in this dream I was shown something that I didn't realize until 3 days later what it was. And what the dream was showing me was the courtyard hour, the walk around the courtyard. It was a solemn group of people walking with bowed heads around and around in a circle, the same direction, roughly the same size of area as the courtyard. In the dream, I didn't see the building, I didn't see the jail. It was sort of a white expanse, but all these people with bowed heads walking slowly around. And that's what I realized the third morning. It was the first morning after I had experienced a whole day in jail, because first I went into a police cell, then I was brought into the jail late the next evening, and then I had my first full day in jail where I experienced all these different routines. And then the following morning I woke up with a jolt and a gasp, and I realized what that dream had been. And it had been a very, very vivid dream the night before. And it was strength being given to me. It was my guardian angels. It was God telling me, you know, you will receive help when you...
Amen. Miss Monica, we have to go to another break. Please hold that thought. We have to go to another break. People, we'll be right back. It's D-Day, 6th of June, 76 years ago. You're with Eddie Miller and Monica Schaefer. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
A Bienus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Buck?
Well, Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in today. We're here for you. We're here for our relatives, for our friends. We're here for God Almighty. We're trying to do right. And what are we trying to do right today? We're trying to bring attention on, I guess the theme of this show could be multiple, it could be manifold. I'll say this one more time. Hope you're not getting tired of us saying it. That the D-Day, it's June the 6th, it's a huge day. My dad was always heavily invested in that day, although my dad did not fight in the European theater. He fought in the Pacific during World War II as a very young man, and he was kind of destroyed by that. He never regained. He was never the same, according to his my uncles. He left like a Christian and came back semi demon. But anyway, we're talking about that war and the occult messages in it. The 666, D-Day, 6th of June, the sixth day of the month, 6 o'clock in the morning. June the 6th, at D-Day, you know, I had all this stuff written down. Anyway, you know, 6 months, the sixth hour of the sixth day of the month. Okay, anyway, we've been talking about this occult stuff, but also another stuff we've been talking about, probably the biggie, is the coup, the alleged coup. It looks like it's happened, people, in case you're tuning in late. President Trump's orders were countermanded by the Defense Secretary, Mark Esper, and a host of four-star generals in the White House. Now, I'm putting this out as news that I have gathered by surfing the internet and studying other news sites, and that it looks like he was forced to surrender to the military. You know, it may be, and when we talked about this also, President Trump was thinking back to 1974, when Nixon was pretty much deposed, his people turned against him, and James Schlesinger, the defense secretary then, told the military, the Pentagon, the chief of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, "Hey, take no orders, no further orders from Nixon, President Nixon, because he's out. You take orders from me." So that was a coup. You might call it a soft coup because you know, unlike the coup, and this is what we've been talking about, I'm just reviewing before we go back to Miss Monica, JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, assassinated, I know it was in November of 1963, I don't remember the exact date. I was in study hall in the 10th grade, and when it happened, and he was definitely set up. There was a lot of cult stuff there. We'll never know the whole thing behind that. But anyway, we're talking about that. Those soft coups. We're also talking about what went along with the soft coup. And this is what's really alarming to me. And I'm going to go back to Miss Monica. The defense secretary and the military pulled out. They pulled the guards out of Washington, D.C., knowing full well they're going to have this million-man march there, this big protest. Thank God it's going peacefully so far. But they did not know. For all we know, they withdrew the 82nd Airborne Division back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. The National Guard troops that did stay in there were disarmed. By the way, people, I'm just giving you a summary of what we've been talking about. So basically, the president's left there with a handful of maybe Secret Service people. I mean, I don't know how many Secret Service guys they got in the White House guarding the president, but the standing against a million people, they probably need more than 82nd. The 10th Mountain, too, they used to, when I was there, they were the 10th Mountain Division was located there in Fort Drum, not too far from the White House. But anyway, Miss Monica, I was just putting that up. We've had, before we've seen, just to maybe to repeat myself, there has been a coup against the Republic of the United States, the representative Republican against the president. So some people are saying that we no longer have a republic. We have a tyrannical dictatorship run by the Pentagon in the dark state. I go from the deep state to the dark state and by the industrial, military-industrial establishment. What do you think about that, Miss Monica? Oh, but go back to your dream first, Miss Monica.
Yeah, I just was talking about some personal things there that happened to me, but in light of the... You know, you were talking about signs and the lightning and things that happen that are sometimes quite unexplainable by any other, there's no other explanation for some things that happen other than that there is divine intervention and, or a sign from a higher power. And in the case of my dream, I took it as a sign to me that, you know, that, these were my guardian angels basically telling me that I'm going to be supported. I'll have help from the divine because I'm heading into hard times there, which I didn't really see that until afterwards, you know. But sometimes we see things in dreams that foretell something, but we don't always recognize what is being foretold until this thing happens, you see. So that's how it was for me at that time. So you were talking about the lightning that happened. I'd have no idea what the weather was like, if that was, you know, totally out of the blue or not. But these things happen sometimes.
Yes, they do. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, I was just going to add, you know, I mean, what most people don't realize is that there is this big, epic struggle between good and evil. And so we've talked about, you know, Satan and Satanists and 666, which is today, symbolized by today, and, you know, 6 a.m., the sixth hour on the sixth day of the sixth month. And it is a very, very heavy number, I guess, and because 666 symbolizes the devil. And numbers seem to be very, very important for this satanic cult and the people that follow this cult and those who were not allowed to criticize. And again, I'll say it again, that lest we be called anti-Semitic, they make laws against pointing out what they're doing or criticizing them. And numbers are very, very important. Somebody pointed out this little tiny piece of trivia, which maybe it's not so tiny because numbers are extremely important to them, but I was told this morning, so the number of minutes and seconds that supposedly the cop had on the neck of George Floyd, which, by the way, that was all a big theater. It was theater. I do not believe for a second that was a real event. It was all acted out by crisis actors. It was 8 minutes and 46 seconds, 8:46. And so this fellow, he said, what else was it, 846? I said, did it have something to do with 9/11? Yes, it did. 846 was the time of day that one of those towers was struck. I don't know if it was the first or the second, but 846 in the morning was the time of day. These numbers, they keep on playing with these numbers. And even, I mean, the 9/11, I think most people know that that number itself. Anything that's multiples of 11 as well, like assassinations happen on the either 11 or 22nd, or you know, the, or 3/3 if it's third day of third month. Like, just watch for that. I would encourage the listeners to tune into that, tune into those kinds of things, numbers and other symbolism. And you were talking about all the symbols and. Well, I'll turn it over to you, Eddie. Thanks.
You're absolutely right. You know, I was just looking up some other statistics, but listen, you hit it right on the nail, and you brought to mind a passage in the scripture in the Bible that we talk about on this show all the time. Sam talks about it too. It's Ephesians 6:12, and here's how it goes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And people, we have going to have a break already. We'll be right back, and we'll pick up where we left off. Thank you so much for holding on with me and Monica Schaefer.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
During this time of marches over the death of George Floyd and inequality, Dr. Anthony Fauci spoke on MSNBC about things that minority populations need to be better protected against the coronavirus.
There's a much higher rate that give you a greater risk for serious disease among minorities, particularly the African American population. That's diabetes, that's blood pressure increases, hypertension, obesity. So what we need to do as a society immediately is to make sure that the resources to give them the best possible chance with identification, isolation, and contact tracing to prevent the spread within those populations.
Dr. Fauci also shared his concerns regarding the protesters not practicing, about the protesters not practicing proper social distancing or wearing masks. This is USA Radio News.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
While you have free time and you're sitting at home and you ponder what kind of gifts to buy for someone, PatriotDepot.com has you covered, from puzzles, games, novelty items. If you're looking for some unique style items when it comes to the president, for more, you can check out PatriotDepot.com. Call 844-377-8052. That's 844-377-8052 or PatriotDepot.com. Use promo code USA.
Joe Biden has now secured more than 1,991 delegates, which is enough to clinch the Democratic nomination. Biden called it an honor to compete for the nomination against one of the most talented groups of candidates the Democratic Party has ever fielded. He also said he's proud to say we're going into this general election a united party. Biden picked up a sizable delegate haul in the primaries this week in the District of Columbia, Indiana, Maryland, Montana, New Mexico, and Pennsylvania. Biden became the presumptive nominee on April 8th when Bernie Sanders suspended his campaign after losing the Wisconsin primary. Tropical storm Cristobal advanced toward the U.S. Gulf Coast, bringing heavy rains that have already caused flooding and mudslides in Mexico and Central America. The National Hurricane Center said the storm is expected to slowly strengthen until it makes landfall. Tropical storm force winds could arrive as early as tonight. Hurricane Center said the storm should cause heavy rains from East Texas to Florida this weekend and into early next week. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back. And again, hope you don't get tired of me telling you the date, but it is a very special date. It is June the 6th of 2020, year of our Lord. We're celebrating the 76th anniversary of D-Day, the day when the Allies invaded Normandy Beach to try to end the Second World War. And that's what we were talking about today, one of the many things we're talking about today. I'd like to go on a little aside here. Miss Monica, you mentioned, before we go back to what you're talking about, you mentioned this George Floyd, I think was his name earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, the you know, the Zio media and the Antifa, and it's not just them. They're kind of deifying this George Floyd. You know what he did? He got a rap sheet, pretty long rap sheet. A lot of y'all people are probably this. I hope this information isn't too old for y'all, but you know, he had been he was guilty of home invasion against a pregnant lady, and he held her at gunpoint, had the gun stuck in her belly, you know, so they would have taken out the lady, the mother, and the baby. This is that wonderful saint that we've got to be marching against. You know, I've been talking to people and posting, kids, well, they're kids to me, 29, just nothing but 29-year-old kids, policemen. Police were being shot just the other day. They shot in the back of the head. Many of them, these police are being killed every day, and not one word of sympathy is mentioned for them. And I'm going to tell you something else that makes me sick. Here in Memphis, Tennessee, we have the medical school, the flagship medical school in Tennessee, the University of Tennessee Health Sciences. We also have a School of Pharmacology, School of Dentistry, School of Nursing, med tech schools, lab tech schools. We have all that stuff. You know, their classes have been suspended going to the university, to the building, the brick and mortar. They're having to do, the ones that are still taking them, classes, are having to do them strictly online. I haven't figured out yet how a medical student can go do a rectal exam to check for prostate cancer, how they can listen to for a murmur in the descending aorta, or how they can listen to, you know, a pulmonary valve or murmur. How they can check your retina, you know, to see if you have any retinopathy, if you have any, you know, any ruptured venules or arterioles from diabetes and hypertension. I don't know how they do that, but they couldn't do that. They can't do that. But get this. They violated their social distancing here in Memphis, Tennessee yesterday, Monica. A group, it looked like just about everybody in medical school, dental school, the schools I just mentioned. They met downtown on the campus of the Health Science Student Union. And they all knelt, bless their heart. They took a knee, and they stayed kneeled, I think, for 9 seconds to symbolize, you know, this thug who was killed, right or wrong. You know, he was a thug. He had his history of being a thug. If he'd have survived, he'd still be a thug. So, you know, I don't cry for the guy, for the loss of that guy. I mean, we have police that were trying to defend the lives. You know what? These police go down in areas, a black town, white town. There's some areas in Memphis, Tennessee, the police don't even like to go. They're so rough. These black projects. And, you know, they don't blink when a policeman gets called to go down there and he gets shot for trying to protect black people. But yet this thug, I'll never understand it while they stick it up for him. I just want to bring that up, Monica, before we go back to you.
I don't think that man is dead. That's my thoughts on that. I don't think he's dead. I mean, notice that, you know, he died afterwards. Even the video of when the cop's knee was on his neck, it's kind of yeah, it's not really easy to see what's going on there. And these guys are acting it out. The cop, the so-called cop who supposedly killed the guy by having his knee on his neck, they knew each other. They had been working side by side. And his neighbors, the cop's neighbors, didn't know he was a cop. They'd been neighbors for a long time. I mean, I'm not saying that's proof that he wasn't a cop, but there's a lot wrong with the story. There's a lot wrong with the story. You know, even just the way they're behaving. Then just another example of a video that it was sent to me in a comment under one of my articles in my website, and somebody's trying to garner sympathy. He says, look how the cops are treating black women. So I looked at the video, and right away my antenna go up. I looked at it several times. A cop with a baton is really beating on a woman. She's standing, and she doesn't even flinch till about the third or fourth beating with this baton. And then she goes down. But, you know, if you were hit on the legs, knees, anywhere by a baton, you wouldn't just stand there like nothing just happened, like maybe just a feather hit you. You would have already reacted bodily. You see, these videos are created all the time. I mean, that one, it didn't really go anywhere in the mainstream, but I think these kinds of events are being staged all over, and it's to get this this narrative out there that, gee, white people are all hateful of black people, and especially white cops are doing all this bad stuff to black people. And notice how this race war got started with the George Floyd event, and now it's being just 24/7. If you turn on the mainstream media, it's just 24/7. We're getting that with a few sprinklings of coronavirus still thrown in. But you see, the corona thing was wearing off. People were starting to say enough already. People were starting to wake up about it, and people were not really obeying anymore in many instances, I would say. And then they get the race riots and race war started, and just maximum mayhem, maximum chaos is what they're producing here. And this whole thing about white on black crime, anytime something happens, whether it's for real or not, it gets 24/7 coverage. And then what about the black on white crime? That gets buried. That does not get reported, does not get talked about. And there is a heck of a lot more black on white crime than ever there is white on black crime. I mean, that is very well known by people who actually look at this stuff in detail, you know. So this is all a created story. And so, yeah, I mean, I would not kneel down in silence for this black man who supposedly died. And I think this is another example of whites, sort of like when they chain themselves up and put their sorry caps and sorry t-shirts on and sorry about black slavery, which it wasn't whites that did that. It was Jews who did that.
Yes, you know, not one single slave ship ever flew the flag of the Confederacy. They all flew the Stars and Stripes. And you're absolutely right. I've been told, I can be wrong, that's for sure, that the kind of the hub of the, you might say, the financial, the trading center for the slavery was in the Jewish population, heavily invested in Rhode Island, the city of Rhode Island. But, you know, I was listening to a fellow say that, oh, go ahead, Monica.
I was just going to add, the blacks in Africa, they already had slaves. So these slaves were bought from other blacks by the Jews and put on these Jewish ships. So it was a Jewish trade, Jewish ships, Jewish, basically everything about it. But they also, I mean, these slaves were already slaves, blacks and slave blacks, in other words.
Yes, you know, and I've been wanting to do, we've already done, you know, one of the projects I'm so glad we were able to do. I think it added 5 years to my life when you and Berta Voss were able to do that three-part series on the Holocaust, the Holocaust. Another series I would love to do is on white slavery. There was thousands and thousands of whites. A lot of them, a huge number of them, were brought over from Ireland. These pretty blue-eyed, blonde Irish girls, and they were bred like dogs. to these big bucks, you know, because they wanted to get a big, strong slave with the, you know, with a little intelligence. But go ahead, Monica.
Yes. They were also often called indentured servants, so that it kind of hides the fact that they were actually slaves. But when their 7 years ran out or expired that they were supposed to be indentured servants for, there would be any number of methods of keeping them forever enslaved, these indentured servants. And they were treated way worse than black slaves when there were actually, you know, white slaves and black slaves at the same time. Black slaves were actually being treated much better because they were more expensive. You see, that's a really important factor. These white indentured servants, like you say, they were picked up in Ireland and also in England. Kids that were off the streets, like orphans and whatnot, they're just picked up. And boys, little boys, if they're really small, that was better because then they could go in the chimneys and, you know, be chimney sweeps, this kind of thing.
Right. Miss Monica, we'll go back to that. Plus, we'll transition into the... We'll be right back, people, and I'll tell you what we're going to transition into. Hang on, you're listening to Miss Monica Schaefer and Eddie Miller. Be right back.
Yes.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. With that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Well, people, we're right back. Unfortunately, this will be the last segment of this show for June the 6th, D-Day. I can't believe it's gone by so fast, but I'd like to throw another compliment out there to Sam Bushman. I'm not saying Sam Bushman is perfect, but I'm telling you what, I got another compliment for Sam the other day. Get this. I kind of hate to admit this, but I guess I will. You know, we have a supporter who is going to get us Blood River Radio their ads. I'm not going to mention the magazines, but matter of fact, I like both of them. But we were declined. One guy, he was really nice about it. The gentleman, he said, we would have to rearrange the wording of the ad we wanted to run. I won't read it now because there's not enough time. There was nothing, in my opinion, that was over the top, illegal about it. But it was a little bit too hot, you know, for them. And they're supposed to be this really bulldog, right-wing, you know, hardcore publication. But we were turned down. And they said, just change it around, change it here. And they give me a list of about seven things to change. I said, basically, I was polite. I said, no way, Jose. We will change the wording. We will change what we do here in Blood River Radio. When they take the flag down off Iwo Jima. You know, and so he said, well, I can't believe Sam lets you get by with some of the stuff y'all say on Blood River. I said, man, Sam is straight up hard friggin' core. Sam was fighting battles with the Fed before I even dreamed about getting a radio station. Sam, we could do a whole show on the battles that Sam has had with the Feds. So Sam ain't scared and he ain't running. And that's the guy was pretty much said that about you, Sam. I forgot to tell you that. But anyway, we don't really need, like I told people, we let our work advertise for us. And we have I can't tell you, even my wife says that I'm not the sharpest knife in the rack. We all know that. But I have been blessed with getting a guest and co-host. And they said, man, how in the world do you get these people? I said, I don't know. I think it's God. I really do. But Miss Monica, go ahead and finish up what you're talking about. Then I want to go, you know, one thing about Blood River Radio, I've always said we want to be about solutions. I'm going to put forth some solutions to what if we are going to be disarmed by the military. I don't think military will be in lockstep to disarm the people. Some people think that the next step after this coup d'etat in D.C. The 5th of June, yesterday, that they're going to start coming door to door. I've been wrong a lot lately. It's going faster than I thought. But I think a lot of the military will be on our side. I really do. But anyway, Miss Monica, go back to you before I start putting forth some solutions.
That is our only hope, really, if the military ends up being on our side. I would hope that there are many, many people within the military who are wide awake, who know and see what's going on, and that, you know, they have the arms. I mean, you know, they really have the big arms, I guess you could say. There's lots of people with arms, and thank God for you Americans who have hung on to your Second Amendment rights. You know, I used to, when I was still a total libtard before I woke up and righted myself up in this world, I used to be all judgmental about that, and I, you know, everything changed in how I see the world, because I righted myself back up, right, from being upside down in this upside down world. So I was seeing everything inverted, just like they want us to see everything backwards and with all their lies and deceptions. But anyway, it would be my hope that police forces and military forces would come over to our side, be on the side of the people, not tyrannical government. And so I'm on the edge of my seat to see what is going to happen after this, what just happened today, the Mark Esper, the coup, which could be really bad, but I don't know what's going to happen. And I am on the edge of my seat. But, you know, to tie it together with all these things that have happened this year and so quickly, like this whole coronavirus fiasco, shut down the world, none of it makes sense. And, I mean, if we had more time, we could talk lots more about that. But the one thing I would say from that is, please, folks, do not take the vaccine. Do not let them coerce you into taking it. And now these race wars, which have been fomented with lies and the white guilt that we've talked before about, especially in the Holocaust series that we did, that you alluded to, it's all about white guilt. First, it was German guilt, but it extends to the whole white race, because supposedly the white people are guilty of everything. And now this, with these race wars, it's that's how they're doing it. They're turning white people against white people by because supposedly we're guilty of everything, but we are not. And like all of this ties together. They're creating maximum chaos, and whatever is going to happen out of this coup that you are talking about, Eddie, you know, they had to create the conditions first. And I'd say to people, civil disobedience is what we need, and we have to not obey regulations and recommendations and guidelines. Like, I've been talking to everybody I can, like mayors and counselors and whatnot. Do not just, to, you know, say, oh, well, we have to do this and that. We have to close down the libraries. We have to do this because they're telling us. Well, no. Your children and grandchildren are going to talk to you from the future and say, what did you do in 2020? And you're going to have to say, I obeyed. No. Anyway, I'll pass it back to you, Eddie.
Well, I'll tell you what, you were on fire there. There was no way he was going to interrupt you. You know, I was talking to another one of our friends and brothers. I was talking to Jason Robb. He's an attorney, a well-established attorney. And he says, here's the solution I think we should do. Sam's heard me say this a million times. We need to start at the village. It's a small town in the county, and we need to make sure we have a right thinking, a constitutional Christian sheriff, also with a constitutional Christian grand jury. Those backed up by a constitutional posse, you know. And here's how it's been done pretty much over in Boone County, Arkansas. I was talking to this attorney. He said that they have the mayor's not totally on board with it, but he said they have a hardcore Christian, constitutional, right-thinking sheriff. Also, the chief of police in Harrison, Arkansas, hardcore Christian constitutional sheriff. They highly encourage the citizenry over there to own firearms. They don't care if they drill. But, you know, the sheriff, God knows. And just put it, I'll put it this way. If you were the sheriff and you had 1,000 Antifa and a howling mob come after you, I think you would probably greatly appreciate a constitutional militia, constitutional posse, et cetera. But that's one thing, if it's not too late, that we need to do. We certainly need to do that. But I think also, people call me, I'm not a I know no one thinks I'm a religious nut, but we simply, absolutely, positively have to turn to God. We have to get on our knees and pray. We have to do that. Like, I think it's what is it, Corinthians? Not Corinthians, I can think. But it says, you know, if you will, I'll just kind of paraphrase it. If you will turn from your wicked ways, repent of your sins, seek my face. I know I'm leaving a lot out. I will hear your prayer from heaven and heal your land. But also, to quote Dr. Michael Hill, once you get off your knees praying, and you don't get on your knees for this Floyd dude, get on your knees and pray. After you're through praying, get off your knees and do what God tells you to do. And God gave us the solution through a divine inspiration of the Bible. And also, I firmly believe that our people in this United States, that formed this United States, the government that created the Declaration of Independence specifically, I think it was divine intervention. I really do. I mean, there's a like everything else, it gets a lot of knocks. You know, people are always knocking it. Well, nothing's. I think, you know, it would work. It's not the Constitution that failed, in my opinion. It's the people that have failed the Constitution. I mean, people are always complaining about it, but I'll say, well, what have you done? Have you started a newspaper? Have you started a radio show? Have you gone and hounded your congressman? You know, I would say go to the congressman, to your congressman's office, go and be real peaceful and go and present your complaints. Don't call, don't write letters. I don't think they do any good. You need to go to your local congressman and senators. Go to your sheriff. Go to the sheriff. Say, what can I do? You know, get together with a couple of right-thinking people. Have Bible sessions and, you know, get together, plan how you can start in case everything goes to hell. How are you going to defend yourself? How are you going to protect your family, the food supply, the water supply? How are you going to protect your neighbor? It starts with one man. You know, it really does, Monica. Back to you, Monica. We're about to run out. We've got a few seconds left, Monica. Go ahead. You have the closing word.
Yeah, those were excellent words. we need to resist. Do not wear those masks. They are trying to make us non-human. Do not take the vaccine. Resist all those things. You know, when people say, oh, we have to obey the government. No. Don't obey faulty rules and regulations. Don't obey tyrannical governments. Obey God, like you said. Turn to God and keep your arms. And all those things that you said, Eddie, were excellent. And I would say, you know, I'll leave it at that. Shed your fear. Shed your fear. And those masks represent fear of a non-existent thing, and they also separate us as humans. We can't see each other smile anymore. You see, it makes us inhuman. So
you're right on the money. You're right on the money, and you're absolutely right. God did not give us, once again, to paraphrase the scripture, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of hope. I think that's out of Timothy. People, thank you so much for holding on and listening to Miss Monica on with me tonight. She carried the water. She carried the show, as she usually does. Thank you so much for helping us celebrate this D-Day, the 76th anniversary, the D-Day that's going on in Washington, D.C. with the coup against the president, against the republic. Tune in next week. I think we're going to have the general back on, General Nick Glastovic, my very favorite. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Miss Monica. Thank you, Sam.